Psalm 62, please. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. From the NASB. My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man, that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Let's stop right there. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness throughout this week. And God, we just ask, Father, for more of your grace. We thank you that your mercies are new. Lord, we just pray that you would reveal your word and your heart to us. God, we pray that you would open our eyes to see, God, that you are with us, that you are our rock. And we just thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So like many of the Psalms, it's just very good to just meditate on them as you read them over and over again. And as you read them, you begin to experience, I believe, the character of God and who God is. You find rest for your souls. You find strength for your day. We've heard a familiar phrase, don't just stand there, do something. Right? As a young kid, I heard that often, you know, don't just watch, do something. Don't just stand there, do something. It always means to stop doing nothing and change, either do something or change your attitude. But this morning, I kind of want to twist that around, and instead of don't just stand there, do something, I want to switch that and say, don't just do something, stand there. As we find our strength in God, and as we find our worth in God, a lot of times we want to do something. And so, but the secret to finding strength in Christ is to don't just do something, stand there. And it means more than it suggests. It means standing and holding firm, not wavering. And in our world today, there's such a huge sort of thrust to constantly be doing something, to fill our minds, to multitask and things like that. And I have to admit, I feel guilty if I'm not multitasking, if I'm not, you know, being the most efficient of my time or trying to do so many things. Yet throughout Scripture, we see this theme or this idea of pausing and waiting and resting. Things like that, and waiting upon God. And so in verse 1 already, my soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. And so the psalmist David probably is running away from Absalom in terms of the background, and he's at a very low point in his life. And so he's reflecting on who God is. His entire soul receives consolation that the Lord is sufficient enough for him, and that he can find quietness of heart and find rest for his soul, and that he reflects upon God. And so he says, my soul waits in silence for God only. Maybe if your life ever seems unstable and you wish you had more ammunition against the storms of your life, David gives us a great example that the first thing he does is he waits upon God. Sometimes it's just good to calm down, to sit down and wait and see what God has to say. I think Satan wants you to be busy to distract you from the truth of God and the character of God. He wants you to constantly be busy and to see chaos in front of you and allow you to think that you have to handle everything by yourself. But David, in the midst of all that chaos and all that busyness and activity, he stopped to wait upon God to hear what God has to say about the situation. Always think about how Satan wants to keep you busy so that you are away from the truth and the voice of the Lord. In this psalm, you see a lot of references to rock. And for me, as meditating on that, that imagery kind of stands out in this particular psalm, this idea of rock. Many of us know the Rock of Gibraltar as sort of a symbol of a rock. And in commercials, you may see the waves sort of, shooting high as they beat down on this rock. But the amazing thing, if you think of that imagery of this huge Rock of Gibraltar, as the waves come and try and forcefully hit against this rock, the rock still stands firm. That these waves, they're nothing as they pound against this rock. And this rock still stands tall, and this rock still stands firm, and this rock is unmovable no matter, how strong the winds are, no matter how strong the waves are. This rock is unmovable, unshakable. And that's what we have as imagery of Christ being the solid rock on which we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so as we stand firm on the rock of Jesus, no matter, think of the imagery, no matter what waves, no matter what wind, no matter what just is thrown at that rock is firm and stands strong, and we can find it, we can stand on top of it and find it as a haven of rest. And so David, he waits silently for God, for him is salvation. That verse 2, he is my only rock and my salvation, my stronghold, I shall not be greatly shaken. Continuing on that imagery of rock, I think maybe if we were to ask ourselves, where are we standing in the midst of our storms? Are we in the water itself? Are we, in the typhoon itself? Or can we stand firmly on the top of the rock that will not be moved, that will not be shaken, that stands above these storms, that as we stand on the top of this huge rock of Gibraltar, or huge rock, the rock of Jesus, as we look down at the waves hitting the rock, we are above it, we have defeated it because of Christ. And here David in a place where he's, afraid of being chased down and death, he meditates on that. Verse 3, how long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? This imagery is perfect. The imagery is like this fragile wall with just a slight push that's able to be destroyed and tottered. A leaning wall, and all you've got to do is just, it's so fragile, it's about to break, it's about to fall, it's about to crumble, it's about to crash. And here, David's saying, people and even circumstances are coming after, and it's just, you feel so fragile, about to break, about to lean over and just crumble totally. They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. To ask a ungodly person to stop doing evil is a ridiculous plea. To ask a ungodly person to stop, it's in their nature. It's who they are. It's their identity. The sinner will continue to sin. The evildoer will continue to do evil. To ask an evildoer not to do evil is not going to happen. But here, the evildoers and people are coming after him. And so his only choice is to, verse 5, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. Notice verse 5 and verse 1 seems to be the repeat of the same thing, but the change in verse 5, instead of salvation, he says, for my hope is from him. And that idea of, as you continue to meditate on the rock of Christ, the rock of Jesus, you'll see the hope that he has, because he has defeated everything. He has defeated death. He has defeated sin. And when you have that hope, knowing that the victory is yours, that gives you strength for today. A simple sort of example is during devastation and destruction and trying to rebuild a town or city. Some people will ask, well, what's the bother of trying to rebuild? But the hope is, if there's hope that after rebuilding that there's going to be a future, a better future, if there's hope for the future, then that gives strength for today. Why repair anything when the whole village is being wiped out? The explanation is where there is no faith in the future, there's no power in the present. When there's no faith in the future, there's no power in the present, because it's like, what's the use? I used to use that excuse when being forced to clean my room. What's the use of cleaning my room if it's going to be messy again? I know some of the bachelors, you know, here are like, yeah, exactly, amen to that. Why? What's the bother? Why make your bed if you're going to just get back in it again? Why clean your room if it's going to be messy again? If there's no hope of the future, then there's no power in the present. That trying to serve and work and going through your storms and situation, what's the use if there's no hope for the future? But when you hold on to that hope, there's power for today. There's power in the present. And so our hope doesn't lie in our ability to make money. Our hope doesn't lie in our the politics of our nation, our government. Our hope is found on the truth that is always going to last for eternity, and that's the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of our changing world, you can stand firm because the character of God will never change. So what's at the rock? This rock. At the rock of Jesus, Jesus has promised us rest. And Jesus, he wants us to pursue a period of time to pause, to press the pause button on your day, to rest and to refresh your mind, to cease even movement or activity, to begin to recover, collect strength from maybe your mental anguish or maybe the stresses of your life. What can we find at the rock? We can find a refreshing, that the rock is a place of refreshing, a place where the Lord can provide rest and peace and food through the nourishment of his word, or drink a river of living water to give you new vigor and passion. What can we find at the rock? We can find healing at the rock. As God speaks his word to our hearts, we find healing for our brokenness, for our souls. And so my soul waits, verse 5, in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and glory rest, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And so we can put our trust in him at all times. We can put our trust in the one that never changes. We can put our trust in him. And as we continue to meditate on this, that God is my rock, that God is my stronghold, that God is my strength, God is my tower of refuge, God is all these things, as we continue to meditate on this, as we continue to meditate on the psalm, may God be your strength. May he be your rock in times of trouble. Let's bow our heads and let's pray and meditate on that imagery of the rock. Let's meditate on how God will not be shaken, that if we stand upon the rock of Christ, that we will not be shaken, that the storms that we go through are powerful in itself, but against the solid rock, they can do nothing. May the Lord give us rest. May the Lord give us strength. Let us pause as our soul waits in silence for God. Lord, we thank you that you are the rock of our salvation, the rock of hope, the rock of strength. Father, for when we are fragile, for when we are brittle, when our hearts are crushed, when we are buried under and have a hard time seeing the light, you are a rock. You are our strength. You are our hope. You are our salvation. We bless your name. As we intercede for our community, let's ask the Lord that He would be the rock for those who are sick and ill, and as their hearts easily are able to waver back and forth in confidence, but Christ is our confidence that we can have. And so let's pray for those who are sick with cancer and ill, that God would be a source of strength for them. Let's pray for healing over them. Let's pray for blessing over them. Let's ask for grace, and let's ask God to do something powerful in their lives. So let's pray. Continue to pray for salvation for loved ones, for those that we know and those that we don't know, and let's lift up as a body these people, pre-believers who are going through sickness and cancer and difficulties. Let's pray for salvation, and let's pray for healing for them. Let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for those with other sicknesses and illnesses, and let's ask the Lord to bless them and heal them and cover them. And so let's lift them up right now. pray for those looking for employment and jobs. Ask the Lord to open up doors, that they would have interviews, and that they would be ready and prepared, and that God would sustain them during this time of challenge. Let's pray for them. Pray for our mission focus today, and we're praying for our local ministries. Let's pray for the local churches here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for all our YWAM ministries that we participate in. Let's pray for face-to-face counseling and Feed the Hungry and Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Let's ask the Lord to bless Hong Kong and to do something powerful here in this gateway city. So let's pray. Pray for the missions committee. Let's ask the Lord to give us unity and insight and wisdom to reach the world and to reach Asia. And so let's pray for our missions committee. Let's pray for our families. Let's lift them up in prayer. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries, for the community center, for the Igape ministry, for the Homie Outreach, SP Lights, Prison Ministry, Mother's Choice. They're challenging ministries, but they've been very fruitful. There's a lot of also warfare that happens because of them. Let's ask the Lord to provide more volunteers for these ministries. So let's pray for our local outreach teams. Let's pray for Hong Kong overall, for our government. Let's pray for the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival. And let's ask the Lord to use Hong Kong as He brings people through and people in and out, that there would be a strategic sort of diaspora that goes out. And so let's pray for Hong Kong.